Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 84, and this week Paloma Lev joins us to talk about how to become a badass, confident communicator.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
All right, Free Market Squad, welcome back to the Nathan Fraser Show. I am your host with the Hero Complex, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan Fraser. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad, and today we have a very special treat for you. I've got Paloma, is it Lev? Is that how I pronounce your last name?
Yes, Paloma Lev.
Okay, we've got Paloma Lev, and I first met Paloma on a video call that we did for Landon Porter's group, the Getting Sales Without Being Salesy group. And I was instantly impressed with this girl and knew that I had to bring her to you guys and girls because this girl just oozes confidence. Before we get into it, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on her. She's got a master's in English and creative writing, which I failed miserably at in high school. Maybe we'll talk about that. Also has been working as a coach in confident communications for over 6 years. She's the leader of the Badass Communicators Club with over 1,300 entrepreneurs in it from all around the world. And she recently launched her first online course. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the interview. But first of all, I wanted to say thank you so much, Paloma, for coming on. How are you doing today?
Awesome, Nathan. I am so excited to chat. Really good.
So we're going to talk about confidence because I think that confidence is probably, well, I'll get your take on this, but I think confidence is probably the number one skill that an entrepreneur needs to have. And I also think that confidence is usually the number one thing that people are actually buying when they decide to make a purchase from you. So we're going to talk about that because, like I said, we did that interview for Landon's group, and you just oozed confidence, and in a very attractive way. Like, I'm going to say this: out of everybody that was on that call, you were the one that made the biggest impression. You're the only one that afterwards, and there was some very smart, intelligent people on there, but afterwards, you were the only one that I was like, I need to get that girl on the podcast. So, kind of give me.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Kind of give me a background on what confidence means to you and why you decided to make it such a focus as part of your brand, as part of your personality, and what it means to you as far as being an entrepreneur to have a healthy level of confidence.
Awesome. Okay, so I was a really shy kid that probably shouldn't have succeeded in a lot of ways. My mama was so patient with me when she thought I was a space cadet little kid. I could not sit still for the life of me. She wanted to teach me how to read, and I was like, when will I ever need this shit? In so many ways, I've had a lot of pain in my life. I think the best, most interesting people have suffered to earn what they know. And I'm no exception that I have really had a lot of different kinds of pain in my life. I'm sure most of us entrepreneurs have. The crazy thing is, and I'm so glad that Nathan described confidence as a skill. So many people have this mistaken idea that confidence is a thing that you have or you don't have. Well, the amazing thing is it's something that could be learned. I was a shy kid. I literally was such a like geeky little shy ADD kid. And my mama just so happens to have been a marketing coach. Her story is an integral part of my story, and I couldn't tell my story without telling hers. She was a lawyer. Her parents, I'm sure any other immigrant parents know this, that you have two choices. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, maybe an engineer, something like that. And so she went the lawyer route. She was in a cubicle. She found it boring. She was too interesting to be there. And so as she tells the story, she left law for the limelight. She became a singer, an actress, a performer, I don't know if you guys remember Yuck Yucks, but she performed comedy there with her guitar. Mm. And growing up as one of four girls, I got to see my mom live a brave life. I got to see my mom stand in what was true for her and follow her bliss. And that made a big impression on me. Then she found that her friends in business said to her, "Sufit, how is it that you're able to attract so much attention?" And she began teaching her friends in business how to attract rather than chase clients. Mm. Confidence is not about being the loudest. It's not necessarily being the smartest, being the richest. It's none of that. There's quiet confidence too. At the end of the day, what confidence is the conviction to trust your impulses. And a lot of people don't trust their impulses, and they think that they're doing other people favors. They think they're being modest. They think that they're being kind. They think that whatever it is, right? The truth is we are dying to follow confident leaders. We are dying to follow confident leaders. Everybody is scared. Everybody is confused. And that's why people who are confident end up rising as leaders. It does not always correspond to their talent, as we know. I'm not going to say anything about that. You find your own examples. You don't have to look too far. Oh my goodness. But conviction matters. And so I often use the example of Gary Vaynerchuk. Everyone is like sucking his toes right now. And that's great. He's great. But I have to say this. There's a reason that he is the most persuasive man on the internet. And the reason is because he is the most convinced of what he is saying out of everyone who speaks ever. He is so convinced that he has crazy in his eyes. And when someone has crazy in their eyes, you believe them. And so none of this is first about influencing other people. All of this is about first influencing ourselves. When we have convinced ourselves, trust me, other people will be convinced. And so my mama took me under her wing. I was 19 and she was like, "Yo, Paloma, want to go to a marketing conference, Dan Kennedy's conference?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to go on a plane." And that was my first ever trip outside of Toronto. We went to Chicago. And it blew my mind to be in a room with other marketers. I didn't even know what marketing was. I was just interested in psychology, in why people did what they did. And how to move them. And that's 100%, as we know, marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So I worked for myself as an ESL teacher for a while. And I found that my clients really didn't care so much about grammar. And Nathan, that brings us together in that even though I have a master's in English, like, I'm not in love with conjugating verbs. Like, that's not why I'm in it. But the amazing thing is I felt that there was this anxiety, this underlying anxiety in my clients. And I realized that more than anything, they just wanted to be confident. And so I said, suspend your disbelief, go on the internet, go on YouTube, learn grammar there. You don't find it interesting. I don't find it interesting either. Instead, I'll teach you something better. I'll teach you how to be confident. I'll teach you how to persuade. I'll teach you how to negotiate. I'll teach you how to pitch. I'll teach you how to get people to agree with you without force, so they enthusiastically consent to doing what you already want them to do. Because at the end of the day, they just want to navigate like we all do. We just want to navigate this world and give our gifts to our highest capacity. To make a long story short, I was this shy kid who taught myself the skills that I needed to be okay. And then I found that other people found them useful as well.
Mm, I love that. So I have a question for you, and this is going to go way, way back, because my name is Nathan, but my legal name is Nathaniel. And when I was in elementary school in kindergarten, kids could not pronounce Nathaniel. I got called McDaniel. I got called Nathaniel. I got called everything except for Nathaniel. And I hated my name. I hated it. I hated my parents for naming me Nathaniel. And it really messed with my confidence as a kid, not having a weird name that people couldn't pronounce. And your name, I've never heard anybody with the name Paloma. Is it a common name where you're from or where you grew up, or did you have to deal with sort of the similar thing?
That's so interesting. So I'm one of four girls, and my parents are sort of weird, and I love them, but they're eccentric. And so I believe that my parents took turns naming us. And I was, I think, my mom's turn. And Picasso's daughter is named Paloma. It's a Spanish name. It means dove, which is hilarious because doves are like peaceful and chill. And I'm not peaceful and chill. So that's fun. I feel like sometimes we get some ironic names. I remember I was a camp counselor and this like one kid who was like, oh my God, what are you feeding this kid? His mom was like, his name means tranquility. We had a good laugh. I didn't get crap because of my name. There were a lot more fun things to make fun of me about. I had eczema, so I had like little like red marks all over me. But more than anything, you know what the thing is? People feed off our energy. And so it's like, I honestly didn't feel great about myself. Mm. And so like bullies are intuitive and they know who's good to pick on. And I wasn't resolved. I wasn't on the same page as myself. So in a lot of ways, I was an easy target. So I totally feel you on the peeps were mean thing.
Well, I think it's something that all kids have to, I don't know, maybe not all kids, but I've never met a kid that didn't get bullied at least once. And it's something it's one of those things that it's kind of like, Bullies are like dogs. They can smell the fear and they're attracted to it.
Yes.
So getting into your story, getting into what you're doing now, what is it that you find that most entrepreneurs, how do I frame this question? I have found that there is, like you were saying, when it comes to success, one of the key things is whether or not somebody is confident. I've met so many people that have brilliant ideas. I have so many friends that are just brilliant at what they do, but they have this like imposter syndrome where they're afraid that they're not qualified. They're afraid that they don't have permission to go out and teach other people. They're afraid that there's already other people out there doing it, so why should they contribute to it? Mm-hmm. Where do you think that comes from? Is it just an innate part of who we are, or is it something that's kind of trained into us by the way that we're educated? And how do people overcome it? What is it that some people are able to maybe grasp onto or connect with that allows them to break free from that either programming or natural tendencies of humans?
Oh, that's such a good question. People don't understand that authority is fake. Everything. Look around you, friends, whoever's listening, look around you. Every single thing around you was constructed. Every single thing around you is fake. You go to a Starbucks, okay? And a latte is $5. And it just seems like normal and natural. Like, of course, a latte is $5. You don't ever really think, hey, somebody designed this trade. It's a trade. Everything is a trade. Friendships are trades of feelings, right? Everything is a trade, and all these trades have been constructed. And so I grew up with the daughter of, I mean, my dad was entrepreneurial as well. My mom is an entrepreneur, a healthy disrespect for authority, and not in an antagonistic way, but in a way that like I've seen under the hood of the car enough times to know that everyone is full of shit. Everyone is making it up as they go. And authority is something that you give yourself. You're not going to be knighted. God is not going to tap you on the shoulder and kiss you on the forehead. You give yourself permission. And once you've given yourself permission, you're completely freaking unstoppable. And so, you know, I was a teaching assistant at the University of Toronto. I saw my fellow TAs like marking essays while they were like drunk and things like that. And so, you know, you get an A or a B and it totally affects your self-esteem. And you don't realize that so many of these advantages are systematically given out, are arbitrarily given out. And it's such a great question you ask, because the people that I work with are people who are ridiculously talented, who undersell themselves. Like, that's the people that I work with. And I work with them because I'm lovingly frustrated on their behalf. And just like I'm sure that you feel when you have friends who are like super talented and you're like, Jessica, stop going for that guy. Like, he's an idiot. And she's like, no. it's really, it's a frustrating thing to see people who are remarkably talented who get in their own way. and they think that they're just like limiting themselves. There are a lot of people who badly need to see flawed humans go into the world and present themselves proudly. Like, it's not just about us. It's not just about us. Like, when my clients are worrying about like, oh, it's not perfect enough to put out there, I'm like, when have I ever been perfect? Would you have rathered that, you know, instead of my 6+ years of giving the wisdom that I've suffered to earn, would you rather me just like hide in my basement and not leave the house? They say like, no, you've really helped me. And I was like, okay, great. There are lots of weeks that like I cry multiple times a week, or like my hair's a freaking mess. Or I think one of the first interviews that I ever did, it was like a smudge of mascara under my eye the whole time. Like, it is so important. Like, it's a give. When you are show up imperfect, you're giving to other people because they're afraid, and you're giving them permission to be as they are. And more than anything, we humans want to be known. What intimacy is to see someone exactly as they are. But we're afraid of intimacy. We're afraid of looking each other in the eye. We're afraid of having a conversation. We're afraid of screwing up, because at that moment, people see our humanity, see how flawed and imperfect and scared we are. And vulnerability is an incredible strength. It brings people closer. One reason that I connect deeply and lovingly with people is because I'm not scared of myself. I'm not scared of my impulses. And because I'm not scared of myself, I'm not scared of you. And people feel that within 3 to 5 seconds of talking to you, they already know, do I like, trust, respect this person? And the thing is, it hands out uneven advantages. Like, you know, I'm very confident that I can have and do anything. Anything that I want to develop and do, I can have and do. And that feels really powerful. And so if you're a person who's kind of holding yourself back, just remember, don't compare your outsides, your insides to other people's outsides. My mama always told me this growing up. Don't compare your insides to other people's outsides, because social media, and we all know this, social media is a parade of outsides. It's a very well-curated gallery of the highest moments of our lives. But every single person is struggling with an unimaginable pain that if you saw that, you'd feel so much closer to them. But we don't often show ourselves to other people. So just remember that the things around you were constructed. And quick side note, if you're a horse running on someone else's racetrack, no one will ever give you as good a deal as you can give yourself. No one will ever give you as good. So you want to be the person who's building the racetrack and allowing other horses to run on it. You're the confident leader of process, your systems. Like my mom always told me, she's like, Monopoly is one of the smartest games to be playing growing up, right? It teaches us how to be creators of our reality rather than passive recipients of reality. And as opposed to being a victim of the world, create the world. Like, we are so powerful. If we all saw how powerful we were, it would burn our eyes.
Oh, I'm loving this. So I'm going to dig just a little bit deeper, because you said something about instead of being a horse on somebody else's racetrack, create your own racetrack. And I really want to get your opinion on this, because you work with so many people, and this is like the thing that you work with people on. I've noticed that inside of corporate America, inside of the workplace, most people don't want to take on the responsibility of creating the track. They just want to show up and be told which direction they're supposed to run, how many laps they need to run. Right. And is there something in your opinion, is it because I know so many people that are not happy with that life, but they're just terrified of taking on the responsibility of creating their own track. And this might just be my own conspiracy theory point of view, but I think that if I owned a corporation, if I owned, or if I was a political leader with political power, I would want people to be trained from birth to the day they died. I'd want them to be trained to fear building their own racetrack. Definitely. Because that makes my life easier. I'd want them to be afraid to go out there and pursue their dreams, because that means they're not conforming to my dreams.
Right.
Do you feel like there is some of that going on, that maybe people, I guess here's what it is. Does everybody have the ability to go out there and be confident, or are some people just not capable of it, and it has nothing to do with programming in the school system or in the greater world out there. Is there something that like people like you that are able to break free? Is it because you had it inside you and others don't, or do you believe that everybody can do this?
Oh, that's such a good question. Okay, I'm going to give you kind of like a Kanye answer on this. So he doesn't actually answer questions. He just tells a story in hopes that it peripherally touches the question. This girl in my group asked, how can I be funny? And I said to her, if you're not funny, you haven't suffered enough. Mm. And the truth is, if you don't want to break free yet, it's okay. You haven't suffered enough. It's coming. You're going to suffer enough. You'll get to that point. But if you're like in that like comfortable state of like lukewarm mediocrity, I don't want to like shake you from that. Like I'm deeply uncomfortable. I'm like disturbed in the kind of environments where I'm controlled. So for me, it doesn't even feel like much of an option. It's sort of like burn the boats. But confidence is accessible to everyone. We can unlearn, relearn, reparent ourselves. Like the human brain is the most elastic, incredible thing in the world. We can learn. But the truth is, this is so like Plato's cave. It's like you can see outside of the cave, but sometimes when people outside of the cave tell you there's a bigger reality out there, you get really freaked out because freedom is terrifying. Waking up every single morning, being your own boss, and you are commander in chief for yourself is definitely terrifying, but it's also probably the coolest thing in the world. Like, you know, I was talking to a couple of friends of mine who are entrepreneurs. They have ADD as well. And I was like, why don't we create an ADD entrepreneurs panel? Right now it's like in the works, cooking up. 8 brilliant ADD entrepreneurs are going to get together and have probably the weirdest panel discussion or interruption of our lives, right? Like drink every time we interrupt each other, right? But the cool thing is like, it was an idea in my head and now it's a thing in the world. Like how powerful that is pretty addictive. And so once you've freed yourself, it's sort of like when you've seen, and Nathan, I'm sure you feel like this too. When you've seen like color television, it's pretty hard to go back to black and white. Mm-hmm. And for some people, I'm not saying like, I believe there are people who have jobs that they love, that it's meaningful. But the truth is you build your own dream or someone else will pay you to build their dream. And if you are fine and you are comfortable doing that, do it. And if you're sort of uncomfortable, then you need to suffer a little more until you get to that point. Like the only reason I love people so, so, so deeply is because I've really had a lot of pain in my life. Like I was a very sensitive kid. Like I've had like so many random, I like broke my knee, had 2 knee surgeries, broke my arm, stepped on a needle when I was a kid and had a surgery on my foot, like asthma, eczema, like all like these physical things that made me sensitive. And I also just like feel people. Like I always like joke when I meet new people, like careful, I'm 35% psychic. So like, don't be scared when I already know that like granola and peaches is your favorite breakfast. I just felt it, you know? So like, yes, I mean, freedom is expensive too. Like, you know, something's got to give. And trust me, there are days that entrepreneurs badly would love a regular paycheck so that every month is not, you know, volatile. You're like, oh, I don't know what this month's going to bring. Like, trust me, like, I fantasize about it in the same way as like people have sexual fantasies of like literally every once in a while I'm like, what if I quit this and did this the most like brainless thing where I just stapled papers for someone and made them coffee and that was my money, you know? Like every once in a while I just admit that, I'll confess that to you guys, that entrepreneurs have our moments too where we wanna, you know, break free of all this freedom that we don't always know what to do. You know, but it is worth it. And at the end of the day, it's not about the money that you acquire. It's about who you become. And I must say, like, I'm really proud of who I became and who I'm becoming. And I think that that's a really exciting thing that's worthwhile, regardless of what you're able to create outside of you. It's worthwhile for the things that you can create and become within you.
Mm. There's so many different directions that I want to take this discussion. I kind of want to roll it back just a little bit, though, and go to something that you were talking about earlier. You were talking about, and we kind of touched on this at the very beginning, when people are buying from you, what they're really coming to you for is confidence. I know that you mentioned that you have a master's in English and creative writing. Mm-hmm. I am a high school dropout, and I failed creative writing, and I failed English. And I don't want to make this about me, but people pay me ass tons of money to write for them now, like college graduates who got straight A's in these classes come to me, who dropped out of high school and failed these classes, and ask me to do their writing for them.
You know what's funny, Nathan? I remember I would always call it my fake master's. I often felt like a spy there, really, because like, I don't know. Sorry, I interrupt you, but it's just funny that you say that, because I have interviewed a good number of people who are high school dropouts as well. And they're the most fascinating, truly intelligent people that I've ever met. So it doesn't surprise me, but that's amazing.
Yeah. So I guess where I was going to try and go with it is I started my first business when I was 17, ran it into the ground. I started my second business when I think I was 19. That was okay, but it really didn't take off. But by the time I started, I think my fourth business was the first one that was actually a very good profitable business. I had a lot of experience through trial and error, and my fourth business, which was based pretty much solely around podcasting, by the time I had reached that level where I was a confident business owner in that area and a confident podcast host and a confident radio personality, I had realized something that you kind of touched on earlier, which is most of these people that everybody looks up to, that we consider gurus of whichever particular niche, a lot of these people are just as insecure as the rest of us. A lot of these people, if you like getting to know these people behind the scenes, getting to know people that have nationally syndicated radio shows and on the air, they seem to have everything together. And then as soon as the mic cuts off, you realize that their life is just as in shambles as everybody else's around them.
Right.
Getting to know marketers and people that are pulling off these amazing accomplishments, but are just as terrified as everybody else as what if this next thing doesn't work? But being able to still go out there and be confident. And that's what people are really buying. When people buy your service, they're really buying that you're confident it'll work for them and they feel confident that it'll work for them. If people buy your product, you're confident that it'll give them the desire that they're looking or the desired result they're looking for. And that makes them confident. And I don't even really know how to put this into a question, but what are your feelings about these super high achievers and what maybe people, like you said, the Facebook life versus the real life, what do you think people should know about, in your experience, the people that they look up to and think that these people have everything all together and everything comes so easily for them?
That's great. You know, I've had the privilege of, you know, having a lot of friends who run Facebook groups, and they're amazing. Like, they're amazing people, and they're generous people, and they're kind people. And sometimes when we get together, a group of five or six of us just talking, we're not talking about like, oh, I won the Nobel Prize and my boyfriend's so nice to me and like whatever. It's not like that. It's really like, this is what's painful. This is what I'm scared of. I want to leave my group. I want to end this. I don't know what I want for myself. I'm scared about my next launch. Like, trust me, friends, like I've seen it again and again and again. And I was watching an interview with Lisa Nichols, and she was saying that a lot of people say to her, oh, you're so brave. I could never do what you did, you know, making this career for myself. She had like a young kid and her partner was in jail, and everyone's like, oh, you're so brave. You're so amazing that you did that. And she's like, I don't let people call me brave. I don't let people, you know, other me because of my success. Because she says, when you other me, that means that you don't believe that you have it within you, and you think that I've had some kind of special privilege or advantage, it lets you off the hook. So when we look up to these people and say they've done things that I can't do because they have something I don't have, that is, and I say this with love, everything is like tough love, but we need it. That's bullshit. Like, you know, I want credit for the fact that I show up scared. I don't want it to be like, oh, you're just a confident person. I'm like, yeah, every single time I put myself out there, I'm still making myself open to be criticized. I'm still like, you know, one reason people are afraid in terms of communication is all of this is improv. All of, like, you can study all you want. You can write scripts all you want. All of this is trusting your impulses. You're thinking, oh, I want to say that. But, and then other people are like, oh, maybe that's stupid. I shouldn't say that. And then they second guess themselves. In that moment that you second guess yourself, other people second guess you too, and they're scared. So people that you look up to and admire are really regular people. And a lot of the time they started even farther back on the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Like they had a couple slaps and knocks before they got into it. But I was like joking with a friend of mine, like, the more life punches you, it's like you become a cockroach. Like, you can't kill me. You know, like, you step on a cockroach, it becomes a rat. You know, mm-hmm. Step on a rat, boom, it's a dog. Like, just try to kill an entrepreneur, you know? Not actually. Not actually. But like, you know, you earn resilience and you don't get to show up. You don't get to go to the gym fit and skinny. You don't. And you don't get to show up perfect. You don't. All of this is ego. All of this is like ego. It's like, God forbid I show up in front of other people and they see me be like less than polished and perfect. Like, you know, I was listening to this other interview with, what's her name? Jen Scalia, something like that. And she, I honestly like didn't get a ton from it, except for when she said, get over yourself. When people were like, how do you like put yourself out there? So she's like, I was shy. I'm still shy. But part of this whole thing is get over yourself, because it's not about us. When we step up as leaders, we decide that we're going to help people. So could you imagine if a brain surgeon said, I'm not going to go to work today because I have a pimple on my face? Like, it's not about you.
Wow. That is so deep. You mentioned earlier people not looking each other's in the eyes. Which is like a plague, it seems like. And I don't know. I know when I was a kid, I had trouble making eye contact with people. And it's one of those things that it seems like a lot of this stuff isn't taught in schools. It's not taught from children to children from their parents, especially like looking people in the eyes, speaking confidently. What are some of the things that people listening right now, if they're having trouble with confidence, what are some kind of, I guess, simple steps that they could take in their lives to be more confident?
Yeah, great. So because I got a master's in English and creative writing, one thing that I did was produce a book of poetry at the end. And one thing that I said to myself, because I've been writing poetry since I was 13, and the most important thing, my philosophy, like if I had to tattoo something on my butt, here's what I would tattoo. Don't do the busy work to avoid the vulnerable work. Don't do the busy work to avoid the vulnerable work. So a lot of the time we're doing stuff for our own businesses, like treating ourselves like our own employees, doing like data entry and things like that. When the vulnerable work, the stuff that actually moves the dial, the painful, hard stuff that's necessary is like, you know, calling up old clients or writing that email sequence that you're like, okay, I really have to sell myself now, things like that. We avoid the vulnerable work, but the vulnerable work really moves the dial. So since I was 13, I've been writing kind of confessional poetry where I reveal myself and I expose myself. And I strongly believe that honesty is freedom. And, you know, like we can build this whole empire for ourselves. You can build your money empire. But if you don't have the luxury of honesty and you don't have the luxury of true inner freedom, like what do you have? Money just gives you ease of access. It gives you comfort. You can throw money at problems, but you can't feel like you're okay by just throwing money at something. So the first, if we're going to put this into like, let's give people some verbs. First of all, give yourself complete permission to think, feel, say, in your own brain, whatever you're thinking and feeling. So I made a pact with myself early on. Paloma, you're allowed to think and feel anything. You are safe inside yourself. I will not judge you. You're allowed to be jealous of your friend who is going on vacation. You're allowed to, you know, I'm not going to put a second layer of judgment on myself. I'm just going to observe, oh, that's how I feel. And then sort of like analyze from there. So first of all, give yourself complete permission to trust and respect and love your impulses as intelligent guides towards your most peaceful, authentic life. One, give yourself permission. Two, so the first negotiation is you versus yourself, and then all other negotiations outside of you are easier. The second thing is when you want to move outside of yourself, Nathan and I talked about this on the panel. I have this practice that I call DNP, daily negotiation practice. So yesterday I got a free taxi ride, 6 free muffins, and something else free. And it's not about the things that you acquire, but basically every day ask for something. Every day ask for something. Ask for an exception to a rule, like, hey, can I pick up my laundry same day as opposed to in 3 days, you know? Ask for something for free. Ask for a collaboration. Ask for something ridiculous. And your goal is to get no's. Try to get some no's. There's this awesome dude, Jia Jiang, who has a really cool TED Talk worth watching. And he did something called 100 Days of Rejection Therapy. Essentially, he wanted to get more comfortable with hearing no because he found that a fear of rejection was stopping him in his work and his professional career. And so he started asking for crazy things for 100 days. He was like, he went to a butcher shop and he's like, can I please have a quarter of a piece of shrimp? And can you please wrap it up and weigh it for me? He was like, he went on a plane. He's like, can I make a quick announcement? He challenged Barack Obama to a game of basketball. He went up to random girls and was like, will you give me a compliment? Like, he asked for 100 really random things, and he found that he got more yeses than he imagined. So he went to Krispy Kreme. I don't know if you guys remember Krispy Kreme, or if even if it still exists. I don't know. But he went to Krispy Kreme, and it was around the time of the Olympics, and he asked the worker there, can you please make me some, like, Olympic ring donuts, like the exact same color as the Olympic rings? Mm. And the woman's like, when do you need it by? He's like, 20 minutes. And so she made it for him, and she gave it to him for free. And he was like, it's so funny. Guys, you got to watch his vlog. He's like tripping out. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe I just got that. And it's not about the yeses. It's not about the nos. So there's a point system. If you don't ask, 0 points. If you ask and you get a yes, 1 point. If you ask and you get a no, it's 2 points. And the reason is because it took more cojones to ask for something bigger. And what we do is we de-link the results from the process. So you want to reward yourself for just showing up. If you show up at a barbershop enough times, you get a haircut. Show up at the gym enough times, eventually you'll work out. So reward yourself for showing up, because we make it way too tough on ourselves. Like, Nathan, do you write a to-do list?
I have multiple to-do lists, and some of them are on whiteboards. Some of them are on my Evernote.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, it's funny, like a lot of people put such like difficult things on there. They're like, by 3 p.m., build my empire. You know, for me, I'm like breaking it down really small into what I call LFWs, little fast wins. Mm. So literally, like if you have to write an essay, for example, like goal number one, open a Word document. Good. Goal number two, write in title, body, conclusion. Goal number three, brainstorm each chunk for 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. There was this cool behaviorist who wanted to see how he could change people's behaviors. And he was like, he wanted to get people to floss their teeth. And so he said, you know, he got this control group and he said, just floss in between your front two teeth just tonight. Can you do that? And like, of course they could. And they did it, and they did the whole mouth, and they began building behaviors through small leaps in the right direction. So do this DNP, daily negotiation practice. Every day ask for something and reward yourself just for asking. Trust me, friends, I get no's too, but I get some crazy fun yeses. Like I was in New York and I was with some friends, and there were these two restaurants, and this was a very difficult problem, friends. I almost cried. One place had better tacos. And the other place had better mixed drinks. So what are you going to do, Nathan? Like, what are you going to do?
I'd go with the tacos.
Yeah. So that was our plan. So we take a quick stop at the good drink place. And I know pina coladas are tacky, but I freaking love them. So I was like, and they have such a good one there. And so I said to them, I want to get a pina colada to go, please. And they're like, to go? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to that taco restaurant. It's amazing there. And the guy's like, I don't think you can like bring alcohol on the streets. And then he's like, you know what? I'll walk it over for you. And he literally, I have a picture and I'll send it to anyone who wants to see it, of this amazing dude named Francisco, who like is carrying a glass with like whipped cream and like a cherry and all the works. He carries it to the other restaurant for me. Mm. You know, like I've had so many like hilariously, like, I can't believe that we can get away with that in this life kind of moments. But the remarkable thing is it reminds you that you can shape your environment. Like really, you can design your life. You can design deals. You can make proposals. You know, like some people think that to start a business, you have to have money. Like, I don't know about you, Nathan, if like a stork came down and gave you $1 million check, but like, nobody gave me one when I was starting my business, right? Mm-hmm. So we just have to be like resourceful as hell. And yeah, ask for something every day.
Nice. Paloma, this has just been just a wealth of knowledge. So many light bulbs going off and so much stuff that I just couldn't agree with you more on. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know that I want to give you the chance to pitch two things, because there's two things that you do that I'm really excited about. First of all, the Badass Communicators Club, where can people go to find out more about that?
Yeah. So thank you so much. So if you go on Facebook, friends, just type in the Badass Communicators Club. And if you got to be cool, you got to be nice, you got to contribute, you got to laugh at all my jokes. I prefer the laughing emoji as opposed to the like emoji. Just keep that in mind. And yeah, you can join 1300 really awesome, kind of crazy, brilliant entrepreneurs from around the world sharing sales, negotiation, pitch, confident communication secrets.
Nice. And you also have, you just recently launched a course that I'm really excited about as well. And let people know what the course is about and where they can go find out more information if they want to get it as well.
Awesome. So friends, our launch was in November and we have closed the door until January 1st, but January 1st, it reopens. It's called the Sell Yourself Kit, Badass Confidence in a Box. I've created a wrong course before. I didn't do my research and I just made some assumptions about my peeps. So I had to humble myself this time around. Be like, Plumsky, you don't know everything. You got to have like really long, in-depth conversations with your peeps and find out exactly what they want. That's what this course was. And we knew we had it right when, like, right away, lots of peeps got in. The reason that I made it is because I'm tired of seeing incredibly talented people undersell themselves, fear selling themselves, thinking that selling yourself means selling your soul or selling yourself short. What I want for you peeps is that you're able to give your gifts generously. Like, wealth is not just about acquiring money. It's also about being able to give of ourselves generously. That's why we don't always feel as satisfied with a job, even if it's simple, even if it's easy, because we just want to give ourselves and we want to give our talents to the world. And so the question that I have for everyone is, if the right people with the right resources and the right opportunities were sitting right in front of you, ready to say yes to you, would you know what to say to them to inspire them to take a chance on you? And if the answer is anything other than hell yeah, the Sell Yourself Kit is for you. We go through confidence, pitch, copy, which are your top three sell yourself assets, as well as how to overcome negotiophobia, how to build rapport quickly. You know, and so it's really like 8 courses jammed into one. And it's really was made with a lot of love. So, anyone who is interested, you can wait till January 1st or private message me to get on the wait list. I'm Paloma Lev on Facebook. I'm not like those fancy pants grown-ups who use LinkedIn as much as most people do. But yeah, we have a really awesome VIP community of peeps who are like supporting each other and cheering each other on. And we've seen just since the beginning of the launch, so many people who are like, I was afraid of Facebook Lives that they're doing it every day now. Or people who were so scared of pitching who wrote awesome emails and got yeses. So if you feel like you're a talented person who doesn't put themselves out there enough or confidently enough, we would be so happy to love and support you in your journey to ultimate badassery.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you something, and this might get cut from the podcast. It depends on how comfortable you are asking or answering this.
One of the
really debated things in society right now is the gender wage gap. And one of the things that keeps coming up is that women don't feel as confident negotiating. And I'm only bringing this up because you mentioned it.
Oh, it's good.
I've noticed this as well in any kind of corporate job that I've ever had. Women don't typically feel as confident as men do going in and negotiating for higher wages. And they say that that's a big contributing factor to when women don't get paid as much as men. A lot of times it has to do at least partially, sometimes significantly, on the fact that they don't feel as comfortable negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that... what's your take on that? And then what are specifically geared for women in negotiations? Do you have one takeaway or one tip that you would say, do this one thing and it'll help you out in your negotiations?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm really glad that you asked that. Yes, 100%. So women statistically have an easier time negotiating on other people's behalf than on their own. Most people find it easier to negotiate on someone else's behalf than their own. So for example, like your dog Fluffy, you're like, oh, my cute dog Fluffy like has this random disease and I need to get the last vet appointment for Fluffy or else it's the end of Fluffy's life, right? You're going to fight like hell to get that last vet appointment for Fluffy. Now imagine yourself, you know, and there's one doctor's appointment left. You're not going to fight as hard. You're going to feel like you don't have the right to ask for what you want for yourself. And so what we can do is we have to understand how our advocating for ourselves benefits other people. Brendan Burchard would call this benefit extension. So essentially, if you want to, you know, ask for a raise for yourself and you believe that it's just for yourself, you are highly likely to ask for less than you deserve. The general rule is if you're not a little bit nervous to ask for it, you're leaving money on the table. You should always be pretty nervous when you're making your ask and not really like feeling nervous so much, but knowing that you're making a bold ask. So what you want to do is convert the benefit to who else it will help. So women, if you ask for more money, it's not just about you. It's not just like you're going to spend more on yourself. That means that your children have more opportunities. That means that your partner, you're able to do more for them, right? Money is, you know, we have messed up ideas about money in our society. Money is just freedom units and it's not special. Money is not special. It's a commodity. It's everywhere. Everyone has some of it. And so, but what you have is so unique, is so important. You have a monopoly on your unique way of experiencing the world, your style, your flavor, how you articulate yourself. They need you more than you need them. Understand why they would be lucky to have you. Paint a compelling vision for them about what you want to do for that company moving forward. But more than anything, understand and explain to yourself how advocating for yourself assertively will benefit other people. And that will help you so that you understand that you're on a crusade for other people as well. It's not just about you.
Wow. Okay. This is hands down. This has been one of my favorite conversations that I've had in a very long time. So thank you. You just blew me away with this interview. So thank you so much. One more time, Badass Communicators Club is where they can go find you, your Facebook group. And you said the best place to hit you up is on Facebook?
Yeah. Come find me, Paloma Lev. Not going to lie, I'm pretty close to hitting that 5,000 threshold. So if you're an awesome person, add me on Facebook. If you're like, I'm kind of mediocre, maybe add, I don't know, someone else on Facebook. But yeah, if you want to take up one of my last spots, Paloma Lev, feel free to add me or join the Badass Communicators Club. Definitely, we would be happy to welcome you in.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. This has just been a fantastic conversation. Paloma Lev, Badass Communicators Club. Well worth, if you enjoyed this interview, you're going to love what she's putting out there. So definitely go check that out. Until next time, Free Market Squad, faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. We are out of here. Deuces.
Bye.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Okay. That was hands down one of my favorite conversations I've ever had doing this podcast. And I don't know, do you feel the same? Did you feel like there was a lot of valuable information in there? Do you know anybody who needs to hear the message that Paloma delivered in this podcast? I can already think of like three or four people that I want to share this podcast with immediately. Do me a favor, think of just one person who you think needs to hear this information, needs to hear this message that Paloma delivered in this podcast, and share it with them. Send them a link to this podcast. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know that you want them to succeed. And let them know that you found a podcast that will help them do so. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. I am out of here. I appreciate your time. And I really appreciate Paloma coming on and delivering such a powerful message. NathanFrazierShow.com is the podcast website. You can go there. You can go to iTunes. You can subscribe. You can rate. You can review. And you can share the show. I'm out of here. Deuces.